Hello, everyone. This is Ava at AvaReads.com. I'm so thrilled to have you here today. We are going to be doing an amazing interview with Ashley Stahl. And I do want to make sure that you're all getting warm and comfortable and cozy and just here in a very comfortable space to go into the interview today. We're going to be talking about a lot. We have so many details to cover. And we're going to be talking about creating a press and media avalanche. So media keeps coming to you, so the press keeps coming back, so you keep getting coverage. And today I know that we have many of you who are entrepreneurial, and also those of you who come along, you are connected with Ashley and you've received career support from her. And so this is going to be helpful for both people who are wanting to have press and media coverage for their business, as well as press and media coverage that can actually help you secure an amazing job, because there are fantastic places that you can be employed in this world. So I am so glad that you're all here. I'm just going to check on you all one more time. Okay, great. I see people joining us. Fantastic. So let's go ahead and get into this. Creating a press and media avalanche. Nothing adds credibility to your business or your personal brand quite like a bunch of press. And as I mentioned today, whether you are job hunting or you're entrepreneurial, it's crucial to understand how to leverage online marketing. And Ashley and I are going to be talking about how you can become a subject matter expert in the space that you inhabit. This means pitching yourself to the media, selecting the right outlets, getting your articles published, securing a large targeted following on social media. And the one thing that we always want to go back to is how important it is, even when you're doing media and even when you are making yourself appealing to the press and the media, it's so important to be authentically you, because you are the star, right? You are the person that they really desire, and it's so important to not lose yourself in all of this. So, okay, so I wanted to take a minute to introduce myself real quickly for those of you who are meeting me for the first time, and then I'm going to bring on Ashley in just a few minutes. So my name is Ava Waits, and I'm an inspirational speaker, a business mentor, and I also have a forthcoming book, which is being worked on. We're at about year two of writing right now, and my belief is that making money should feel like bliss. And I do work providing innovative business, money, and marketing guidance to entrepreneurial women worldwide. And I am so excited to be here today. I am thinking back through some of the press and media that I've received and engaged with over the years. I've had articles published about my work. Just yesterday, I was talking to a reporter who offered pretty much an open-ended invitation to have my book reviewed in two newspapers, have been on television, so various things like that that we're going to get into. So I'm really excited to talk about this whole topic of creating that media buzz today. And then Ashley Stahl, the wonderful Ashley Stahl, we met in California, I think it was, Ashley, was it about a year ago?
Yeah, it was just about a year ago, probably a year ago this month. Yeah,
I know. I think it was like exactly this month. So let me share a little bit about Ashley. She left her successful career in national security to run her own business as a speaker and career coach to millennials around the world. And Ashley, I am just I am just so stunned by the great amount of things that you've already experienced. Not only are you fluent in French and can have conversations in Arabic, which I'm so thrilled by, but I know that you were named in 2014 by Apex Society as a Power 30 Under 30 leader. And oh my gosh, I mean so much. I could go on and on. So for everyone listening, Ashley has spoken at TEDx Berkeley in February 2014. Her work has been featured in Mashable, The Huffington Post, Forbes, The Wall Street Journal, The Daily News, Self Magazine, CBS Sunday Morning. I've seen her interviewed on television several times. And her online programs and live weekend seminars empower 20-somethings to find their purpose in the workforce, land more job offers, and negotiate stronger salaries. And I actually didn't know this until Ashley told me about this, but given that 80% of jobs do not get posted, Ashley focuses on teaching her clients how to network so well that they never have to apply for a job again. And, you know, Ashley, when I heard that, I thought about the second job that I ever held. And I remember I walked in one day and asked them if they were hiring, and literally 30 minutes later was hired. So I've seen that in action with myself and with many other people. So Ashley also ran the operations for the Pentagon's Ministry of Defense Advisors, a training program which prepared senior U.S. officials to deploy to Afghanistan, where they would serve as defense advisors to the Afghan government. And she earned a master's degree in international relations from King's College London and is currently a candidate for a master's in spiritual psychology from the University of Santa Monica. And a huge amount of stunning things. Ashley, I want to welcome you. It's so wonderful
to have you. Thank you. My ego would be through the roof if I got that every morning from someone. Thank you so much.
You can replay this. You can listen to this every morning and say, okay, Ava just got me in the mood for work.
Yes, exactly. Oh, if I didn't like you enough already. Thank you.
Oh, my gosh. So I am so thrilled to have you here. Thank you so much. Media has just been a huge topic that I've been learning even more about lately, especially with you know,
your
book being published sometime in the coming year. It's a very important aspect, and I felt that was just so relevant to have you here. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about your background and really what brought you to this point, and what made you so interested in sharing more about the media with us today?
I would say what really brought me to this point more than anything is just being in alignment with myself. You know, my career worked out in national security, but it wasn't really aligning with who I was necessarily.
Yeah.
And I think the reason, as you had mentioned, that things have happened so quickly for me, because I didn't even have, I had no press coverage about a year and a half to 2 years ago, nothing. And I think what brought me to this point was just really being aligned with who I am and doing what I'm meant to do, because as you know, Ava, the universe just opens up for you when you really decide to do something that lines up with who you are.
And
when it comes to talking about this with you and press and media, I loved when you contacted me about it, because I think it's so important that women, there's so many coaches out there and service providers, and they have such a beautiful brilliance to them and what they're doing. But if they're missing kind of that knowledge on how to really get their message out there, then what good is it? They're like the world's best kept secret. So I'm really all about supporting people and just knowing this information so that they can further their message, because we all know there are people out there who need what they have, whether you're a job seeker or you're an entrepreneur.
Yes. Yes. I was just thinking of something that I saw the other day. I was looking on, this was someone who works as a counselor, and I remember seeing on her website, it said something like, foremost counselor of this type in the world. And and it said that on her website, and yet I noticed that in her bio, she didn't have any media listed. Like, she didn't have any media presentations listed. She didn't say where she had been published or if she had any media coverage. And it actually made me, as that reader on her website, wonder, well, wait, is she just calling herself the foremost counselor of this type in the world, or is that actually something that someone gave her, a title that someone gave her? And it actually made me question her. I mean, I know she's very talented in what she does, but it kind of did make me question, like, wait, is she just saying that about herself, or has someone actually recognized her in that way? And that's one of the fantastic things about media and press coverage, is other people will recognize you and definitely give you some oomph behind your bio and your background.
Yeah, and it also speaks to the kind of businesswoman you are, because when you're able to kind of hustle in that way, where you're able to get your word out to much bigger outlets, it just speaks to the kind of finesse and the skill that you're building as a businesswoman. And I think, especially if you're an entrepreneur, that's really inspiring and supportive for the kinds of people that you're going to take on as clients.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it greatly is. I'm so curious, too. Do you remember back to the first little piece of media coverage that you ever had?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I love this question. It was Oh my gosh, this is so great because there's so many job seekers and entrepreneurs who can use this information. But
yes,
one of the things that really inspired me was when I moved to DC and had no contacts and quit my job in LA. I was an admin assistant. I was making really like no money, Ava. And
mm-hmm.
when I moved to DC, I just really, not only did I want a job because I wanted a job, but I wanted one also for fear that I would have to come home jobless if I ran out of my savings. Jobless and broke. So when I moved out there, I met some really amazing women. One of them, her name is Jane Mosbacher, and she started a company now called To The Market, which is a platform online for survivors around the world to sell their goods. It looks a lot like Anthropology. She's helping women all around the world make money no matter what country they're in through her website. And at the time, she was a counterterrorism advisor at the State Department, and she was just a few years older than me. And I remember getting a meeting with her and just being completely dazzled by how inspiring she was. She had all these awards. Her career had really taken off, and she really was at home with herself, and she was talking to me.
Yeah.
And I just thought that that was really beautiful as well. And when I looked at her resume, she sent me her resume as a sample template for mine, what I could do. And I remember kind of being blown out of the water, like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to have to delete a lot of this to make it a template to my resume. And, you know, one thing that I saw on her resume was top 99 under 33 foreign policy leader.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, wow, she's amazing. And I saw, and, you know, I Googled it, and I saw this spread in a magazine about the work she was doing. And I ended up asking her and lots of different people about these sorts of awards, and they kind of popped my balloon about what I thought it was. The first thing they said to me was, well, I applied for that. And
yes.
I thought, really?
Yes.
So that totally kind of was like, oh, my gosh. I thought that when people got a lot of press, they were just so amazing, that their amazingness was being noticed on all fronts, and that people kind of nominated them for these things without them even knowing. And they would get this surprise email being like, heads up, 7-Up, you're nominated for these amazing things. But that's just not necessarily the case. And so when I ended up mustering the courage, after I took my role at the Pentagon, I moved home to Los Angeles. I ended up managing a threat intelligence team for a Fortune 50 company. And I thought, you know what, I'm just going to put myself out there for this. I'm completely unattached. It's not going to happen. That's what I told myself. So I actually emailed Jane and said, how would you feel about nominating me for this award you got? And she's like, I'm thrilled, sister. Like, you sent me that link. And then just a few months later, I got an email that I was named a top 99 under 33 foreign policy leader. And the magazine was coming out and that it was all over the internet. And I just remember feeling like, whoa, if I can get this, what else can I get?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know how it is, Ava, especially when you're a business owner or a job seeker. It's like you don't want to have too much of a moving bar for your goals because you want to celebrate yourself and not buy into this endless cycle of, okay, what else? But that's definitely what that woke up in me, was this curiosity of what other opportunities am I passing up, because I thought I had a mindset that these things just came to you and you didn't come to them. So that was huge. That was a huge moment for me.
This is absolutely amazing that you're sharing this. I think this is such a key point, is that for any of you listening right now, you're wanting press and media coverage. There is going to be a part of you that actually has to reach forward and ask for it or suggest it. And I, like, even right now, Ashley, I'm up for a Global Millennial Award as one of the 10 nominees. And yeah, you're speaking at that conference, aren't you? Coming up.
Yes, I am. I know that, I believe it might have been deferred to 2016, so I'm not sure if it's happening still in 2015, but I believe that, yeah, I will be speaking.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So anyway, that was an award that I found out about, and I asked several of my colleagues to nominate me. And so I had a hand in receiving that nomination, and of course they had a lot of nominations, and they had to whittle it down to 10 people for the 10 nominees. But I definitely had a hand in that, and I'm hoping to win a place in the top 5 and be honored in that way. And that, again, it comes back to we as entrepreneurs or we as job seekers, we can definitely have a hand in receiving that media coverage. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Absolutely. And, you know, I always used to look at the people who were Forbes 30 under 30. And I, you know, some of them were celebrities and names you'd already know, but I was more fascinated by the names that I didn't know. Like, who are these interesting people that are putting their heads down, getting their work done, and all of a sudden popping up on this website? And it really just led me into this idea of the avalanche, where you kind of have to chip away at the mountain, and one small award becomes a bigger award, becomes access to much bigger awards. So it's so important to just first and foremost, whether you apply for them or not, to be aware of what awards you get in the industry that you're in, no matter what you do for a living.
Yes, yes. And usually the company that or the organization giving that award, they are sharing that information with a lot of people, that just their marketing is going to get your name in front of a lot of people. So just that in itself, just being nominated for something, if it means that your name and your business information it is up somewhere, again, that's a connection right there. That is publicity for you. So
absolutely. And I'm also a believer that a winner is a winner. So even if you're not getting nominated for something you do for a living, any sort of success that you can get nominated for really speaks, because I really think that if you're a successful person, that's going to show up in so many areas of your life. And you should really own it if you got an award for your tennis match or for your, you know, intramural soccer league or whatever it is. I think it's all an award, and it's all something to be celebrated and noticed and really speaking to the kind of person that you are.
Tell me a little bit more about the idea behind creating an avalanche of press and media attention.
Yeah, well, I work with, much like you, Ava, I do work with some entrepreneurs. And one thing that I have really shared with a lot of them is just this idea that they, first of all, want to identify someone whose branding makes sense to them. I mean, really find a bar and set some goals and write down what kind of press you really want, what outlets you want to be associated with. Because a lot of the times the press creates the mood on your website. And it's so important that you kind of think, well, what kind of mood am I trying to bring here? And I recommend really ranking the press from what seems like the hardest to reach all the way to the lowest hanging fruit. And really pursuing the lowest hanging fruit no matter what you're doing. If you are in college and you are about to transition into the job market, it's only going to help you exponentially to stand out if someone Googles you and they find articles that you've written for different publications online versus another job. I mean, it's huge. Same thing with entrepreneurs. You know, if a client Googles you and you're really showing up in the world as someone with a voice, it's huge. And so really starting off with ranking your list out of what's the most accessible press for you, and then moving forward in kind of how you kind of determine, okay, now that I've gotten the easy stuff, how do I start pitching myself to different editors and showing them the pieces I have that have done well?
And tell us a little bit more, too, about your process of pitching yourself to the media, because I remember when I first heard that idea, pitch yourself to the media, that I was actually a little bit intimidated by that because it meant that I had to put myself out there. It meant that I had to suggest something and maybe receive rejection, which I know I definitely have for media ideas that I've shared with people. I'd love to hear a little bit more about your process of pitching yourself to the media.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this actually began for me just about a year ago. A reporter at the Wall Street Journal wanted to put me on the front of the personal section. And that to me was just completely haphazard. I did not see it coming, and I'd never really done something so international. I know that it's translated into I don't even know how many languages. And with the Wall Street Journal, the Passover rate is times 1.5. So I think it was something like 23 million people were touching that copy. That day. And so one thing that really kind of got me thinking when I did this was, how do I create more of this? And one thing that I learned from having a lot of friends in PR is that when you have to strike when the iron's hot. So if something happens for you, you want to make sure that you ride that wave and you start pitching it to other reporters. So I totally agree with you, Ava. It can be really intimidating. I for some reason, rejection just doesn't even get me anymore. You know, it's like, oh, okay. But,
right. It's not the right time. It's, you know, not
yeah.
the right person. It's,
yeah. I put myself out there so much. It's almost
yeah.
a present when people respond. Like, I don't even expect a response. Mm-hmm. So when I get one, I'm like, oh, my gosh, what a gift. So, you know, just positivity. But when it comes
yeah.
to pitching yourself, I really kind of pay attention to what outlets you want to be associated with. If you're a job seeker, I would look at what awards are present. I would look
mm-hmm.
at which ones are the low-hanging fruit, which ones are the highest-hanging fruit. And if you're a job seeker, I would look at what kind of articles can you write, what kind of publications can you be seen as a thought leader in the industry you're moving into, in the function you're doing in the workforce. Same if you're an entrepreneur. And from there, really identifying what editors are relevant for what you're doing, because the number one way to lose an opportunity is to pitch yourself to the wrong person. You cannot
yeah.
bank. Yeah, you can't bank on the fact that they're going to forward your email to the right editor when they have thousands of emails that were sent to them on purpose correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So first and foremost, when you're looking at your publications, you want to make sure you know exactly what editor is in charge of your topic. So, you know, in my case with Self Magazine, I'm very aware of who the careers writers are and who would be in charge of deciding if I should be showing up in the magazine this month, next month, or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So part of the game is just having the right person. And once you have the right person, I really recommend just tracking them a bit. See what they're writing about. See what their voice is like. And when you pitch yourself, really making mention of what you've noticed that they're writing about and where the synergy is with what you write about or what you're all about if you haven't done any writing, and creating that connection that way.
Yeah, so it's very personalized because you have looked at that reporter's history, you've looked at that writer's history, you're really mm-hmm. engaged with them, and it's not just, you know how sometimes you can do press releases and they get, is the term blasted? I think
yeah.
that is the funniest term in the world. It gets blasted out there. And, you know, that whole idea of something being blasted, that it's going to splat in places where it doesn't even belong. And so
yeah.
I love that idea of going to that specific person and really thinking about what would match up with them and what would match up for the publication that they work for.
Absolutely. And this even kind of reminds me of when I started my business and I was doing my first group class on
mm-hmm.
clarity, figuring out what you wanted to do with your career. And I remember I did a blast, like, hey, everyone, this is my group,
uh-huh.
you know, one that makes sense for it. And I really learned a lot from that because I realized that being personalized is what makes the difference. And
yeah.
I didn't get as many responses as I know I would have had I written a letter to each person letting them know why I thought this group would or wouldn't help them. And while the group did end up filling, I did find that it was disappointing that I lost an opportunity to connect with people. And I think that we're in business or we're in the workforce doing what we're doing, first and foremost, you know, as Brené Brown argues, for connection. We're here to
mm-hmm.
connect. And
yes.
that doesn't mean anything different when it comes to getting press coverage. It's about connecting with the right people.
And this is, again, a person-to-person game, pretty much. It's a person-to-person interaction. It is you usually talking to maybe one person, maybe a couple, maybe a group within a publication. You know, it varies. But actually, I'm even thinking yesterday I was one of my colleagues is having an article written about her right now and her work. And I was on the phone with the reporter writing it yesterday. And he was asking me information about her, and it came up, my work came up, because she had been supporting me in some areas of my work that I do through my business. And it was, because it was just that person-to-person interaction for about 10 minutes on the phone, at the end of that call, I was given that open invitation to
mm-hmm.
have my book reviewed in two newspapers. And so
mm.
I can stay in touch with this man, and he is my contact because we've had that
yep.
personal interaction. And
absolutely.
And I've got to add, too, the one thing that you've brought up and I think is so very important in media as well is that the press and the media is such a quickly changing thing that you really have to act very quickly and in that personalized way. Because when I was on the phone yesterday, he had called me earlier and I couldn't talk right then. And he had told me, my deadline is tomorrow. And so I pulled over in my car and I made time to talk to him for about 10 minutes. And if I had not been willing to do that, I would not have had that personal contact with a reporter that could help the publicity for my book when the book comes out. So, so important to be on top of things and respond quickly.
Yeah, it's challenging too, because the worst thing you want to be as a business owner is kind of in that panic mode as well. So that tough line to master. Like, I actually remember maybe like 6 months ago, I got an email from Cosmo Magazine in the UK. And they had said, hey, Ashley, we need a quick quote. The deadline's today. Can we jump on the phone? And, you know, because they were in London and I'm in Los Angeles, I think I was in Los Angeles that morning. I looked at the time that they had emailed me, and it was 5 a.m. My time. And I'm sure it was, you know, the afternoon for them. And I had written back by 7 a.m. I woke up at 7 a.m. I wrote back right away. And they wrote back and let me know they'd already found someone to get the quote. I really, you know, I cannot allow myself to descend into this perfection of always being available for every single thing. So with this, you know, I think for you, it sounded like a really divine opportunity that he let you know and you were simply in the car and not with a client or something more important.
Right.
That you were able to do that. But that's something that I've also learned to really trust with press and not come from a place of scarcity where it's not going to keep coming. This is the last opportunity. I'm really careful with myself in avoiding making stories up in my head about what more or what less opportunities will come. And I really trust that every time press comes, that it's just the beginning of more press. And if it works out, great. And if it doesn't, that's fine with me.
It's a snowball from your avalanche.
Yeah.
There will be more. Yes, I love that. That's such a great point. And I do think that is one thing that I remember a couple years ago when I was wanting to start doing more press and media relations, that I actually did start feeling that overwhelm, that there was too much to try to respond to. And so I backed off for a little while from doing media. And now I've gotten back into it, and now I'm definitely open to it more. But it's true, you have to have that great balance of, can I actually talk to this reporter right now, or do I need to tend to something else in my business or my professional life that actually needs to take priority? And I love what you said about just having trust that more will show up.
Absolutely.
I had another little side story to share about more showing up, is that I remember the first time I got invited to come on television was I was actually at a class. This was when I was teaching nutrition in my very first company. I was doing nutrition mentoring. And I was at a nutrition class listening to several speakers. And in the audience, I happened to see a woman who was just an acquaintance of mine. And we got to talking that day, and it turned out that she was doing a television series for a local TV channel. And you know, we just happened to see each other that day, and an hour later, it turned into an invitation. Here, please come on my television show. I'd love to interview you. And so that was literally the first TV opportunity, was a fall in your lap. Here you go. It's here. You don't even have to work for it. It's simply an invitation. So I'd like everyone to keep that in mind, too, that as you start to get to know people who are connected to the press and media, you may actually start getting invitations that come to you for you to be a guest or you to give something that can be of value to the press and media.
Absolutely. And even the concept, I know we've talked so much about creating it and bringing it forward and acting on it, but also just this idea of turning it down when it doesn't resonate is so important as well. You know, one of the biggest lessons I learned was accepting a media opportunity that didn't feel very much in alignment. And, you know, coming from that place of, like, this is a huge opportunity. There's 7 million viewers. I need to do this. This is huge for what I do. It just isn't an abundant thing to do if you don't really feel excited about the pulse of what the opportunity is. You know, for me, it was a large network, and they wanted me to talk about the generational divides of millennials, Generation X, baby boomers. And personally, I work with a lot of 20 and 30-somethings, both in job hunting and in business, and it just didn't really light me up to talk about the generational divides. I don't work with a lot of people of different generations. So in retrospect, I think it would have been better for me not to take the opportunity, and I really learned from that. Because the day before, I'll never forget, my boyfriend walked in the room and he saw me taking all these notes and he's like, what are you doing? And I was like, I'm studying for the press thing tomorrow because this network was coming to my home.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're studying? They're just interviewing you. Like, what's there to study? And that
It was it's almost like a little outside of your scope in a way.
Exactly. And I think it would have been more of service to the world and to myself to just say, you know what, this is out of scope for me. Let me refer you this person.
This has been coming up for me lately, too. I'm wanting to do more training within organizations. And, you know, my background is in I love entrepreneurship and I love creativity and innovation. And so as I'm designing these programs to be able to bring into companies, I want to be sure that I'm staying in alignment with my true values and the things that I truly know instead of trying to fit a mold of, for example, a corporate speaker. So I think that is so very important to stay in alignment with who we are and stay in the work that we truly love and that does light us up. Oh, this is so great. So I was thinking of one other thing. Well, actually, I have a few more things to ask you, and I love this, and thank you so much. You're just sharing some great information here.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
I wanted to talk about speaking opportunities for a minute because I know that you have been on a TEDx stage, and many people are aspiring to do that. And I'd love for you to share a little bit about connecting with some of those speaking opportunities that then do turn into media opportunities because the TED Talks are widely distributed. Can you share a little bit about how you connected with that TED Talk?
Yeah, actually, I was at the tail end of my corporate life when that came up. And when the invitation came up, I was in Washington, D.C. at the State Department. I was in Istanbul in Turkey. And I had made friends with someone in D.C. who had given a TED Talk at the U.N. And I just kind of was loving her personality. And actually, the way that I met her was she was just so beautiful. She was standing in the room, and I came to her. I'm like, you are such a beautiful woman. Like, who are you? What do you do?
Yeah.
And she ended up being a beauty queen. She told me that she's Miss Washington, D.C. And her name is Sarah Hilware, and she's a friend of mine. And she had just spoken at TEDx UN, and I just told her that I thought that was amazing. And I said to her, you know, one day I'll do that, one day. And by the way, I love this. I actually met her at the top 99 under 33 event. So this just goes to show how this all ties in.
Right, a connection right there. Great.
Yep, exactly. So press creates more press. And I just really love talking to her. She created an organization I'm on the board of called Girls Health Ed, and I'm now on the board because of our friendship and because of the mission that they do. And I said to her, I would love to do something like that. How did you make that magic happen? And she looked at me and she smiled and she said, I'm sure your turn is coming.
Oh.
And I said, oh, come on. I had a flight to Turkey the next day from D.C., and I was there, and I knew that I was going to be leaving corporate to continue with my career coaching practice, and really this was what I wanted to do in the world. And I remember being in a spice bazaar and just getting a text message, and it said, hey, I recommended you to TEDx Berkeley. It's the biggest TEDx in the world behind Brussels. I don't know if you've done any speaking, but they're going to want a sample.
I just
remember being like, oh, my gosh. Like, and my fingers were like, oh, that's great, you know. And my head, I was like,
No, but yes.
So anyway, I think that what I learned from that is the best way to get on the stages like that is to know to network your way over to someone who's done it and to build a relationship really truly with them that is mutual, a caring relationship. And the best way to get on a TED stage is to be recommended by a TED speaker. And the same thing goes if you're trying to get investor capital in your business. The best way to get an investor is to be referred by someone he's already invested in, or she. I love to say she has already invested in.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you for sharing that, too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah, I think also, and for all of us who are looking for more speaking opportunities, that it is so important to also look at the speaking opportunities that you feel passionate about and that do light you up. And I know, I think I shared about this in a very recent interview, that I had an opportunity to develop a training within a company, and this particular opportunity was not lighting me up, and I didn't feel excited, and I didn't feel motivated. And the day that that proposal was due, I received an email in my inbox, actually from someone sharing that there was going to be a TED Talk coming up. And so this person said, hey, this TED Talk is coming to your area. You should apply. And I screamed. I screamed in my room. I was jumping up and down, and I was so excited at the opportunity to apply for a TED Talk. And the very interesting thing is the next day, someone else from my network emailed me too and said, hey, you should sign up for this. And so right now, you know, the final decisions have not yet been made for this TEDx opportunity that's coming up, but I definitely submitted an application. And it was just one of those things where, you know, all the opportunities just kind of flying toward you, and us getting excited and knowing that's the opportunity right there, when the opportunities are coming to us and we're excited about them. So
totally. And just the beauty of creating your opportunities. Like, I'm the last person that has ever waited for opportunity to come and find me. I'm always creating them. So what you're saying right now is so in alignment with that. Like, so many people can, you know, and even if nobody emailed you, you could very well go on the TED website and see and start applying.
Right. So it's like, exactly.
It's huge to kind of always be in a space where you're creating opportunities, be it if you're a job seeker or an entrepreneur. And that just means getting to know different people, going to different events, and not being, you know, too assumptive on who you're getting to know, and making too many assumptions on whether they're helpful to you or not, and just being that open person. I think that you're very like that, Ava. At the event that I met you
Thank
at, you.
You
were just really open and wanting to meet people, and you have a kind heart. And so I think that that's what brings the success when it comes to opportunities.
This is something I often share with my clients as well, the entrepreneurs that I support, is that I recommend that they just go have conversations with people, and that they don't put stress on the conversation as to, oh, this is going to be a sales conversation, or, oh, this person is going to buy something from me. That you just don't put any of that stress on that conversation. You just talk, get to know each other, and that there is going to be something in there that one of you can do for the other, or some sort of mutual benefit. And I think that just going and just being open to life in that way, that there is always some sort of mutual benefit with every single person that you meet, even people that I meet on airplanes. I love, like in airports and airplanes, just sitting next to a person, and if we have a chance to talk, that's great. If we don't, that's fine too. Sometimes it's nice just to be quiet on a plane. But sometimes that person next to you will be exactly what you need. And I remember when I had my nutrition practice, I was doing a lot of health work for people who traveled a lot. And I was doing a lot of research around what pilots and flight attendants went through from a physical perspective when they traveled, and how they could teach, how they could be, just feel better on the road and in the air and wherever they were in the world. And I would end up sitting next to pilots all the time. I ended up sitting next to flight attendants, whether we were at conferences or we were just sitting at the airport next to each other. And so I always got to ask them, what are you going through? What's the difficulty right now? What's the physical issue that's coming up for you the most? So, you never know where these people and opportunities are coming from. Just be open.
Totally. And you know what? I kind of learned a lesson from that when I was working at the Pentagon. I had an assistant named Zara, and she was from Afghanistan, and she's just a really beautiful soul. And I'll never forget kind of noticing how people didn't really take account of her in the room when they were making decisions or asking opinions, even though she was Afghan and we worked on a program that had to do with Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And she was the only Afghan in the room. And later, I'll never forget this moment where I asked her, what are you doing for Thanksgiving, Zara? And she ended up talking to me about how she's going on a jet to Nebraska. And I was like, why are you on a jet to Nebraska? And what jet? Whose jet? Long story short, I had no idea, but she was sponsored to come to the United States by the Buffett Foundation, by the sister of Warren Buffett, and she was spending her Thanksgiving with the Buffett family.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was just like little things where it's like you just really can't assume. It's not in service to anyone. And when you close your heart, you close the opportunities as well.
Oh, my gosh. It makes me want to go walk around now and just look at every single person and say, wow, you are so valuable. You have so much. You have so much history. You have so many connections. And to just, if I have a chance to talk with them, to just look at those mutual connections on both sides. You never know where it's going to go. Yeah.
So true.
Oh, well, I have a few more things that I love to ask you, especially around getting articles published and then also looking at creating social media following. But before I do, I know that you also came with a gift for everyone here, and I'd love to give you a few minutes to share that with everyone because I really want people to connect to you who feel called to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a career success kit on my homepage at www.ashleystahl.com. It's ASHLEYSTAHL.com. And on my career success kit, I tried to make it a bundle for all sorts of different people. So there's two audios there. There's one audio on job hunting and all my best practices when it comes to really mastering the job hunt. And the second piece is my mindset audio, just how to up your mindset, how to get more into the success mindset so you can start bringing in the opportunities you deserve, be it through entrepreneurship or through job hunting. And the final piece is my guide on the elevator pitch. So what I found to completely shift things for press and media in my career is my elevator pitch, how I talk about myself. And that's something that's so huge to you if you're in the job market or if you're an entrepreneur. You really need to know how to speak about yourself in a way that really connects people to you and really inspires them to want to help you. So the piece of my career success kit that I include is a guide on how to create your own elevator pitch with a framework. And so that's just my gift to you, and I really appreciate you taking a look and using it, putting it to good use. So thank you so much, Ava, for bringing that up.
Oh, yes, of course. So ashleystahl.com, you said it's on your homepage, right?
Yep, right on my homepage.
Great. Yeah, I, you know, over and over and over again, I actually, one of my clients last night emailed me and said, I have a speaking opportunity tomorrow morning. Please help me with my elevator speech. And so we have an opportunity to use that, like just that alone in that package that you put together is so very valuable because we're going to get asked what we do over and over at parties, at events, at airports, where conferences, wherever we might be. And if we can't actually say what we do, it's going to stop a lot of opportunities from coming to us. So, so important to be clear on that. Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, okay. So let me get into just two more topics and then we'll finish up the call. You talked a little bit about this already, getting articles published. I just wanted to check in with you to see if there was anything else that you wanted to add to getting articles published, where to go. You've talked about some of the different media outlets already, and I know that you've been published in a lot of places, Forbes, Huffington Post. Anything else that you'd like to add to that?
Yeah, I would say a lot of people shy away from that kind of cold submission area on different websites where you can just submit an article. A lot of people think it's so impersonal, nobody's going to look at it. But people do look at it. And if you don't hear back, I think the second thing I see, even my entrepreneur clients, they shy away from following up. And it's just such an interesting thing to me because you really can get lost in the pile and it's nothing personal. So I've always been one to figure out who's in charge of this And I always follow up on my pieces, and I can't tell you how many times people have said, oh, I'm so glad you followed up. It's posted now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a really good point. I followed up on something recently, and it actually turned out to not be a match for the mm-hmm. certain publication I was looking at. And it was great for me to know that instead of me sitting and waiting.
Right. Exactly. So. That's good feedback as well. That is good feedback. Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, great. And the other thing, too, I've been doing – I have a few clients right now who are developing some really neat business offerings. And mm-hmm. I've been sharing with them that I see over and over again things that are hosted on, for example, the Huffington Post or Elephant Journal or BuzzFeed or things like that. You know, it all kind of depends on which avenue you want to go to. So those may not mm-hmm. be in alignment with your business or your career. That's fine. But I've seen those be shared so many times through Facebook, through social media. And so I keep nudging some of my clients and saying, hey, if you can put together an article that gets shared, what, thousands of times, maybe millions of times, because it's hosted by this host organization like Huffington Post, fantastic. It's going to get cycled around the internet, and more people are going to see it, and more people are going to get to know about you. So.
Absolutely. And it's the gift that keeps mm-hmm. giving, because it's not just about the day that it hits the press. It's about every single time somebody Googles it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I've even seen on Facebook, for example, that it seems like different trends will come back around. Like one mm-hmm. month I'll be seeing people post about a certain thing, a certain article, and no one will talk about it for 6 months, and then it comes back around. It's like everyone wants to talk about it again. So this can happen over and over and over again for the articles that you publish through these online publications.
Yep. Yeah. And on a final note, I always have my editor look at my pieces before they get out. So if you find, like, your feelings of perfection paralysis, it's totally worth hiring someone for an hour to just edit your pieces so that you feel even more proud about what you're putting out there.
Yes. That is huge, too. Editor, you know, even if it's in the beginning, get a friend. Another pair of eyes is fantastic. And, mm-hmm. you know, as I was thinking about circulating these articles, that was one thing that, like, through social media, for example, having an article that gets circulated over and over and over again through social media, that is one thing that can lead people back to you on social media and can help mm-hmm. create a following. And I know mm-hmm. that you were going to share a little bit, too, about creating that social media following. And mm-hmm. I'd love to hear. We have just a couple more minutes before we finish up, but if there's anything you'd like to share around that.
I think if you're an entrepreneur, the best way to connect with clients is on Twitter. I just find that that particular there's certain things that are benefits from Facebook as far as paid advertising goes, and I haven't mm-hmm. dabbled that much in that. But what I know about Twitter is that probably a third of my web traffic every month comes from it, and I just love Twitter. I love, first of all, how directly you can connect with clients, potential clients, and how much you can just serve people and be a resource. I've just found it to be really magical. And one rule that I follow is anyone who follows me, I follow them back. If they want to know about mm-hmm. me, I want to know about them. And mm-hmm. I've just found Twitter to be such a huge gift in my business. And it's the same thing if you're a job hunter. Twitter is such an unexpected place for a lot of people to get job offers. But right now we live in a world where 91% of recruiters are directing their recruitment efforts heavily on social media. So mm-hmm. if you can't get access to someone in a company, don't be afraid to go on to Twitter and use the search box to find out who's on there, what's happening on there, and who works at the company you want to be at. Don't be afraid to follow them if their account is not protected. If it's a private account, then it's personal. But if it's an open account and they're tweeting about work and life and whatever, don't be afraid to follow them and comment and share things that are positive about them. Don't be afraid to do that, because it will get you noticed, and it can really very well get you a meeting with someone. And again, whether you're an entrepreneur or a job seeker.
And you probably noticed, Ashley, and maybe even some of you listening in, that for the promotion for this very interview that we're doing, that you could tell that Ashley was all over Twitter with it, and then I was all over Facebook, because it was so funny. I noticed that. I'm like, wow, she's got the Twitter covered, and I'm over here on Facebook. And I think that is, I think it's probably just a comfort level. I've been on Facebook since 2005. Yeah, 2005. So I've been on Facebook for a long time, and it tends to be my preferred way to connect with people. And so it's so interesting, right, getting these two different backgrounds and two views on social media. I use both. And then I've had a lot of clients come through if I'm part of different groups on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That has been a way where I've connected with clients and people have connected to me, my website, avawaits.com, my newsletter. And, mm-hmm. yeah, I just thought it was so funny when I noticed all the ways that we were promoting, that you were mainly on Twitter and I was mainly on Facebook.
That is so funny. I didn't even notice that, but you're so right.
Yeah. Yep. It happened all the time. Oh, great. Well, are there any final thoughts that you'd love to share with us about creating a press and media avalanche?
I would just say it matters, and that no matter what, where you're at in your career, branding yourself as someone with a voice and someone with an opinion really matters. And I really encourage anyone here not to be discouraged. If you don't have anything, start to think, how can you create that avalanche? How can you kind of really create that little tiny pebble at the bottom of the mountain that you can build on? And if there's some reason or some way for you to be able to do that, have at it, and really just give it a go. And don't be afraid of rejection, because a lot of people I know, recently I was invited to IBM in New York, and I was speaking with their executives about millennials, and the number one thing that I heard, they invited 30 influencers there. So there's me, a bunch of TED speakers and authors,
mm-hmm.
and well, the number one word I heard all the time was failure. Like, everyone was talking about failure and rejection.
Mm.
So I think a lot of people fail their way to the top. They get rejected all the way to the top. And it's just part of the DNA of success. So I really hope that anyone listening just gets started, because that's what matters, is just being in motion.
Oh, hugely. Wonderful. And for anyone who would like Ashley's guidance around all of this, AshleyStahl.com is where you can connect with her if you're not already. And Ashley, again, thank you so much for sharing that gift that's available through your website.
Again, thank you, Ava.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure to be here.
Oh, great. Well, I just want to thank all of you for listening. It's so fantastic to see so much interest around this topic of press and media attention. And, please stay connected with all of us. We would love to get to know you. I am at avawaits.com, ashleystahl.com. Thank you so much, and be sure to let us know when you're on television, okay? If that's your preferred media. I know some of you are destined to be writing and having writing circulated throughout the world and online, and that is fantastic too. Okay, thank you so much, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your day. We'll see you soon. Bye. The moderator.